want to come and share with us, that'd be great.
Morning, everyone. How are we? All right? Good. I see the last song we were singing there was from Revelation. Did you know that? It was from Revelation? When was the last time you read Revelation? But yes, about the four living creatures sing that forever and ever, all the time in Revelation. But we're not talking about Revelation today. That might be for another time, maybe. We'll see. I think it's amazing, you know, when you're preaching, you're sat there in the first half of the service thinking, well, I wonder what I've got laid out today. Is it appropriate? Is it on the mark? And then you see thing after thing after thing happen in the first part of the service that just underpins what you're planning to say. And God's remarkable like that. You know, God knows our stuff and the things that cause us anxiety. And, you know, just as we've heard testimony this morning and what Barbara's been saying, the things that cause you anxiety, or what we're going to talk about this morning, which is a bit about grief, then God knows. So let's get into this. Let's start with talking a bit about Jeremiah. So I don't know whether you know much about Jeremiah, but he was a guy who was a prophet in Judah, around about the 7th and 6th centuries BC. So just a little while ago. And the conditions, you might think back then, were somewhat different to what they are now. But actually that's not the case, because the time that he operated in was a time where society was deteriorating economically, politically, and spiritually. And wars were commonplace. So not exactly different from today, to be quite frank, and very much similar. And, you know, he is known sometimes as the weeping prophet, because he's the sort of chap who really wears his heart on his sleeve. I was going to say, John, do you want to put that first slide up? Sorry, I meant to say that. This is our subject for today. You know, he had to deliver some really challenging messages from God. And he writes a bit like of a journal, I suppose, a bit like a diary in the book of Lamentations. So Lamentations is a pretty tricky book to read, if you've ever encountered it. And he wrote Lamentations after the fall of Jerusalem. So that's when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem and overcame it and took the Israelites off into captivity. And you might imagine in that situation, when the temple was destroyed, everything that was held dear for the Israelites, then that's a tremendous time of anguish. And Jeremiah was having to bring that message to the people of Israel. And as a result, there was a lot of deep mourning. And you might think as a prophet that when your prophecies are fulfilled, you'd be quite excited about that, because you feel that God is reinforcing what he's been saying to you. But of course, these messages were bringing about terrible destruction. And he wept bitterly over the misery of the people. In effect, Jeremiah was consumed by grief. So what is grief? Well, grief is very much the deep sorrow and emotional suffering that we can face, maybe after a significant loss, or perhaps the death of a loved one. Grief is a complex process. You know, it affects us emotionally, mentally, physically, and also spiritually. And it's not just limited to the loss of a loved one. It can also be triggered by the end of a relationship, the loss of a job, a significant life change, the loss of a pet, or maybe a situation that Barbara was describing just before. And grief can hit us at the most random moments, when we least expect it. You know, often grief will come to us not at the moment of sadness or the moment of trauma, or at the moment of the incident that originally caused it. But how does grief affect our relationship with God? You know, when we are happy, we can fall into a sense of not needing God. It's really tricky when that happens, because when everything is going well, maybe we don't give God the attention that he deserves. When we face grief, we then expect God to turn up immediately and make everything better. It's a high expectation we have on God, isn't it? You see, Jeremiah needed God to comfort him in that time of his grief. But he wasn't in a place where he could really reach out to God because he was so overwhelmed with his grief. Jeremiah's grief ran really, really deep. It affected the whole nation. You know, he wasn't known as the weeping prophet for nothing because of his broken heart. So how does grief affect us? When we grieve, it can manifest in various ways. People may experience a range of physical symptoms, you know, such as fatigue comes upon us when we're grieving. Maybe we aren't able to eat in the same way as we usually can. Perhaps we have difficulty sleeping. It can lead to problems with concentration and memory, or we get confused about decisions that we've got to make. Perhaps we lose that rationality that we otherwise have. And spiritually, grief might lead us to question our beliefs, to really wonder, where was God in all of this? And yet others may find strength in their grief because their faith grows, because they realize who God is. But grief, you know, is an individual process. There's no right or wrong way of handling or dealing with grief. It's a natural response to loss, and we shouldn't decry it for anything else. But it can be positive, because it's a process. It can lead to personal growth, healing, and a renewed appreciation for life and relationships. You see, for Jeremiah, in the midst of his lament and grief, there shines a small but significant ray of hope. The only bright spot in his lament. And you know, this is available for all of us, this bright spot, whether you are grieving for someone or over a situation that has impacted your life. If I get Johnny just to put the words from Lamentations up, I'm just going to read these out. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 21 there says, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. You know, God calls us to be rememberers. I'm not really sure that's a word. But rememberers, remembering things of the past there. Because remembering God's goodness in our lives becomes a trigger for hope. We sung it this morning, didn't we? About God's goodness. It's one of the things that I underlined in my mental mind here about, oh, I'm on the right track then. You know, when Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper, he had this express command, do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, now when this is all over, I want you to forget all about it. You see, we remember his death because we choose to. And because it defines the point at which we became a Christian. So how much should we remember God's goodness to us when we are consumed by grief or disappointment? Hope is triggered when we give thanks with a heart of gratitude for the way in which God has watched over us and blessed us with all those good things. We can't sing about it on a Sunday morning and not think it's real. And doing those kinds of things can bring about a change in our emotions. See, the alternative is we go on and continue to contemplate our troubles and allow them to overrun us and consume us so that we become more convinced of our isolation and our hopelessness or our inability to extricate ourselves from those positions, those places. But if we focus on Jesus, we can rise above those things that impact us in those dark, dark days. We don't have to suffer under our troubles. So my challenge to you this morning is, when was the last time you sat down and properly went through and thanked God with a heart of gratitude for all the good things in your life, past and present? You know, a couple of weeks ago when we had the Wednesday prayer meeting, rather than come with a petition or list of things to pray for, we actually sat down and just gave thanks for what God had done in our lives. And it was fabulous just to be able to really give back to God the honor that is due to him. So I'd encourage you to go and properly sit down and give thanks with a heart of gratitude. Verse 22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. You know, Jeremiah saw one ray of hope in all the sorrow that was surrounding him. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease, as another translation puts it. You know, isn't it fantastic to know that we have a God of compassion and not a God of indifference? How terrible it would be if God was indifferent to our needs and the things that bother us. You see, God willingly always responds to us about these things when we ask. And you may have some things in your life that you're really struggling with, and you think perhaps God won't forgive you for those kinds of situations. But you know, what Jeremiah writes here in these verses is that he is the Lord of hope, the Lord of love, the Lord of faithfulness, and the Lord of salvation. See, God's compassionate love and mercy are greater than anything or any situation in our lives. And he promises forgiveness to those who repent. So another challenge for you. So when you give thanks with a heart of gratitude, because that is what you're going to do, isn't it? Remember this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So experiences that you've had in the past where Jesus has come into your situation and restored relationships, dealt with grief, given you the right direction to follow. That's as good then as it's as good now as it was then. And so giving thanks and remembering those situations brings to mind the goodness of God that you can have today. Verse 23 says, they were new every morning, great is your faithfulness. I just want to go on to the next slide, Jono, if you would. It's a bit bright here, but a couple of weeks ago, well, 3 weeks ago, Joe and I went to stay in this little Welsh castle. Well, I like to call it my little Welsh castle. It's a little two-person lodge in the mountains. And we had a fabulous time staying there. Now, the beauty of this place was it was in the middle of nowhere. And when we woke up in the morning, we had this view. Next slide, please. Yeah, it's a bit The light's a bit too bright. Basically, this is the mountain range of Cadair Idris. So if you know that part of Wales at all, we had this mountain range to look at every morning, every day, every evening. And it was fascinating to see how different it was every single day. No 2 days were the same. And some days, the mountain was covered in cloud, and you couldn't see a thing. And that's when Wales is wet. And as you know, Wales does get wet. But other days, the mountain was magnificent. And in Wales, they call it covered in dragon's breath. So when the clouds come down and the mist comes along. So next slide. So you can't see that. So this was one morning, I got up early, and the valley was full of mist. And the mountain was rising above. So if you then go on to the next slide. And the mountain was clear. The mountaintop was clear. And it was beautiful. And then the final slide in this sequence is a beautiful sunset on our last day there. But you know, when we wake up every morning, God's mercy and grace meets us new every day. And it's appropriate for the day that we're about to encounter. So just as the mountain landscape was completely different every day, and you can rejoice in the beauty of it, so our experience of God is different every day. And every day presents us with a new opportunity to discover more of God's love. You know, even in the midst of terrible sorrow, overwhelming grief, God is waiting to present us with new things to help us out of our situation. It's new every day. And you know, God is forever faithful in this respect. Remember, he is a compassionate God. And his character can dominate the wreckage of our lives and the situations that we find ourselves in. God is faithful day by day. It's new every morning. Imagine your most favorite thing that you have in your life delivered to you brand new every morning. You see, God's grace, mercy, and blessings are absolutely and reliably new every day. There are no leftovers from yesterday. So lift up your heads and rejoice in the goodness of God, for his mercy and grace are new every morning. Verse 24 says, if we go back to the next slide, which is back to the words, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Or some translations put, I hope in him. Why wait? Well, because in God, everything he gives us is enough. Your God will provide you with all your needs. And he is worth waiting for. See, hope is not a wishful thought, but a confident expectation that God will not only meet your needs, but remarkably often exceed them. Such is the bounty that God has for us, that he will often exceed your needs. Later in Jeremiah, he writes the response from the Lord, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, even in the desperate times of grief and sorrow and difficult, challenging situations, God wants to reinforce to you that he has plans for you. So where is your hope? And are you prepared to wait for it? Because God wants to hear your voice coming to him, acknowledging him for who he is, so that he can respond to you. The last two verses there The Lord is good to those who hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, waiting is a good discipline. It's a challenging one, and it can be very hard sometimes. But we need to accept God's will on our lives. And we need to wait for him to move in his timing. Sometimes our urgency and the urgent nature of this world, it's hard to wait for God. But he's got a perfect plan for your life. If you acknowledge him, and if he is your savior, and if you've invited him into your life, then he's got a perfect plan for you. See, there is salvation and redemption for those that wait in the midst of whatever distress we encounter. And if we wait for him, and if we grasp hold of those things, that leads to two key things. Next slide. First of all, freedom. As Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Do you feel imprisoned by your situation? God wants to release you from that situation. We've heard a word of knowledge this morning about a situation that somebody here is facing where God wants to release you from that imprisonment. How do you respond to that? Recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Magnificent things that we just trip that verse off the tongue sometimes, but actually look at it, break it down, give thanks for what Jesus is saying there. In Galatians 5, chapter 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You know, this isn't to diminish our grief or sorrow or to belittle it or just to cast it off as something that, oh well, you know, you can get it sorted out really quickly. Or indeed the situations that affect our lives. Sometimes it takes time to work through those things. But God wants us to be free of these things, to experience freedom, to not be bound by these things that take us into low places. And when we acknowledge that freedom, that leads us to renewal. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, despite our grief and our distress, if we so choose, we could find a loving Heavenly Father who absolutely and reliably wants to bless you, to dig you out of that dark place you find yourself in. You know, the adage, one day at a time, is never truer, because for each day, God's compassion, mercy, and grace are new every morning. You know, if that's the way you're living your life, one day at a time, then acknowledge the fact that the next day, God's blessings for you are new. They're not the same as the ones today. You know, so we can confidently rely on each day bringing something new from God. And it's backed up by the fact that God has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." It's a biblical truth. And then Jesus said, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's almost the last words he ever said on this earth. Till next time. And he really meant it. Because if you look at the stories of how he was training his disciples, you know, his disciples doubted and question Jesus over and over and again. And you can imagine how frustrating that must have been for Jesus. How irritating it might even have been when his disciples just didn't seem to get it. Yet Jesus persevered and he stayed with them, gently teaching them a better way. Hearts filled with gratitude is what we really need to have. I titled this talk, A Reason for Hope, The Lion Inside You. And you might not be experiencing grief in the same sort of catastrophic context as some might be. Or be in the depth of an immense sadness because of the loss of a loved one or a dear friend. But remember, grief comes in many forms and includes the disappointment or upset when our plans don't quite go the way we had anticipated. It might be through the loss of a job or a breakdown of a relationship or a marriage, perhaps a financial disaster. But yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. You see, because God doesn't fail, and because his promises are sure, and because he is reliable, and because his mercy and grace are new every morning, I can be strong and courageous. I can have the heart of a lion. And I do not need to be afraid or terrified because of the situation I find myself in. Whether that be through overwhelming grief, terrible sorrow, disappointment, or problems too many to count. I have the heart of a lion. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." What I must do is have an attitude of gratitude and be as bold as a lion. Now, one of us to watch a video now, so it's going to give a moment for Jono to switch out to the video. For this video, I just want you to play for just about 5.5 minutes, but it's called Gratitude. And as we listen to this video, I just want you to come before God with a heart of gratitude and give thanks for the things that he has done in your life. Give thanks for the goodness of God. Let's listen to the video.
I've with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
Romans 8:26 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You know, sometimes we simply cannot find the words to express our feelings and state of mind. Perhaps that helplessness comes out of our circumstances. But you know, the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf and gives us that lion strength inside us. This morning, God wants you to reach out to him. Now, you may have done that 1,000 times before, but that doesn't make it any less relevant for you today. It may be that you haven't actually done that yet, reached out to him. You know about him. You know he's there, but you haven't taken that last little step of properly reaching out to him. He doesn't want you to reach out to him through a lament and the sorrow, but he wants you to reach out to him with a heart full of gratitude. You see, God understands us, and he understands our grief. And he wants us to know that because of this, he sent his son to die for us, that we might have a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. So it's from an expression of gratitude that we should come to him this morning. All the things that have gone on this morning, it's an expression of gratitude. And tough as that might seem, when we are struggling or coming from the depths of our despair, nonetheless, this is what God wants us to do. Go to the final slide, Jono. If you are grieving today or finding life just a little bit challenging, take time out to give thanks to God for the goodness nonetheless in your life. Come with an attitude of gratitude because you have a reason for hope because of the lion inside you. Come with an attitude of gratitude. It's easy to remember. But that's what God wants you to do. We sung earlier, Sing a Hallelujah. The song we've just heard is, again, Sing a Hallelujah. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Because you've got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. I'm just going to finish now with a prayer to wrap the meeting, I suppose, unless Andy wants to do anything at the end. But it's just a slight adaptation from Colossians chapter 1. We continually ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. If anything that's been said this morning, if anything has hit home and you would like prayer, just somebody to stand with you and pray with you, then there'll be a few of us at the front who would be more than happy to do so. But don't leave this place with anything else other than with an attitude of gratitude to give thanks for the goodness of God. In the midst of your grief, your sorrow, your sadness, the difficult situation you find yourself in, the challenge, the words on the screen now, then come with an attitude of gratitude and see what a difference this week can be in your situation. And if Barbara's word of knowledge was for you, give honor to God and bless Barbara by letting her know that that was a situation which now God is going to release you from, or already has. Thank you for coming. Andy, back to you for anything.
Thank you, Steve. That's great. Let's call that the benediction, shall we? Shall we just stand together? Just turn to the person next to you, say, the Lord is my, he's our... Yeah, come and get your portion. Yeah. Praise God. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy a coffee, fellowship together. And please do come for prayer. Yeah. Amen. picked all the buttons up.
I have.
Do anything with it.
Nasty, aren't I?
That's quite good, isn't it? Yeah, just go watch the feedback. When to mute it. Yeah. If you can't turn it off, then it sometimes echoes.
Thanks, John. Thank you.